Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to On the Block. I'm Madison McGee, your host, reality TV producer, and Big Brother superfan. We start the week with a Taylor HOH. It's the wall comp. She wins. It's kind of a duel between her and Kyle at the end. And it's interesting because neither of them wanted to let go. Very proud of Taylor for winning that. It is kind of like, if you're built like Taylor, the wall comp is really good for you. We've seen this time and time again where women do pretty well on the wall comp. So I was very excited to see her take that win. And we see then this interesting pattern of people having to kind of come to talk to her with their tail between their legs because they've either been bullying her or talking very badly about her or targeting her or putting her on the block, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's really interesting to see Jasmine, Indy, Alyssa, Terrence really coming to see like what's up when they really have no privy to her information and shouldn't have access because of the way that they've treated her. So the leftovers obviously still seems pretty tight at this point, and they're trying to decide who on the other side is the target. And it seems like Taylor is pretty adamant that she wants Terrence to go home. So it seems obvious that Terrence will go on the block. However, she promised Indy and Alyssa that she wouldn't put a woman on the block. And she doesn't want to target Jasmine because she's the only other black woman in the house. So we have this weird who else goes up. And she mentions she might have to put up another member of the leftovers. And the leftovers say, no, don't do that. So she does ultimately decide on Indy. But here's something that I just think is so fascinating to me. She references the cookout in her reasoning not to want to target Jasmine, and I understand that to an extent. I don't know if it's worth sacrificing your game to keep Jasmine in the house because Jasmine has been openly targeting you, put you on the block, doesn't like you, talks about you, and I just don't understand the logic here of how it's good for her game in any sense for her to keep Jasmine. I don't know. It's so tough, to see like her thought process there and what's going on, because I think that if Jasmine were to win, Taylor would go on the block immediately. So she ends up going back on her word by putting up Indy on the block, and Indy seems to feel okay. She's safe. So she's heard. But she obviously is mad at Taylor for putting her up. And I just think she doesn't like Taylor anyway, so it doesn't matter. But she's definitely mad at Taylor for putting her up, but it does seem like she feels a little sense of security that Terrence is the target and Terrence is going home. But you never know what is going to happen. So we've got the veto coming up. I already know what happens, but I do know that people who listen to this do not watch the feeds. So let's not go there. I'm not going to spoil this time, but normally I might a little here and there. But just so people who do watch the feeds know, I know who wins the veto. I know what happens. I know who is the replacement nominee or not the replacement nominee. And it's pretty obvious who is going home, but it's not who you would expect. But time will tell. I mean, Thursday, it all could change and it all could flip. And it's just so crazy how this game works, that this happens. And it's so fun. That's why we like it. So anyways, this week, my guest is Chanel Howell from Survivor 42. You know her, you love her. She was such a fun person to watch on this show. We talk a lot about what her strategy would be, how her mindset has changed about strategy since she went on a show, what she would have done before, what she would do now. We talk a little bit about her Survivor journey, but not too much. And it's just a fun interview. It's really great to see kind of her perspective and how we kind of go back and forth about a lot of things, and she changes my perspective, and we really it's just an enlightening conversation, and it's really fun. Please rate, review, like, subscribe wherever you're watching or listening to this podcast. I will see you next time. But for now, here is my interview with Chanel. So are you fully caught up?
Via the feeds and like Twitter updates, yes. Via the episode from last night, I didn't watch the live episode.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So obviously we saw Daniel get evicted.
Wow.
He is not in the jury. And now everyone who's left in the house
is part of either the jury or they're making it to the end. How do you feel about this group of people that we're left with?
I'm excited because I feel like every year, with the exception of Big Brother 23, which I didn't watch, that's like the only season in like, I don't know how many years I haven't watched. And that's just because I just got home from filming right as they were filming. And I was like, too fucked up to watch TV. But I feel like every year, the underdogs, you root for them, but they never like get as a whole, as a group, like super deep into the game. Like when we think about All Stars, or as Janelle would call it, Small Stars. as we think about that, like, I was like, yes, like, come on, Keisha, we can do it. Like, come on, Kaser, come on, Davon, Bailey. One by one, they all left, right? And like, I feel like every season, you never see the underdog alliance actually number one connect the dots and like come together. And then number two, which is so important, they never get power. And so like, I think I'm excited to see that like the leftovers are going to either A, B, and jury or B, go end game, because they, number one, connected the dots that they were on the outside and that they weren't like, you know, a part of that core alliance. And then also that they back to back won power with Taylor winning the HOH last night.
Yeah. It's been a really fun season to watch. I know there was like a little bit in the beginning where it was cringy and uncomfortable, but like it really took a turn and became, at this point, as far as gameplay, kind of this turn of the tide with people taking power that maybe weren't supposed to, quote unquote. Yeah. It's been really fun to watch. So yes, we see Taylor win the HOH last night, which it's funny because I saw her personal Instagram account. I don't know who's running it, but they put, we're manifesting a Taylor HOH tonight. And I don't know, like, I'm not a big manifester, whatever. But I there's feel like
something I feel like they could be manifesting it every week, though.
Right. That's my thing with like manifesting. I'm like, you're saying things that are probably going to happen anyways. But I might be a believer. I don't know. I thought that was so funny. So right now, I think it might have already happened. The nominations are going on. And it's looking like Taylor's going to put up, if she hasn't already, Terrence and Indy. What do you think about her targets as someone who is a strategic player like you? What would you do if you were in her position to take out someone who would be a big threat? Like, who would you be going after?
Yeah. So I guess like from my understanding, her target is Terrence, right? Or as of now. Yeah. I think like she has a solid alliance in her perspective right now. She has a solid alliance. She obviously doesn't want to upset her alliance. And honestly, like that's one thing I'm not sure I fully understand about Big Brother. Like, I guess you want to have minimum blood on your hands, but like, I don't want to backdoor someone using my alliance at all, you know, like, especially given that like the other side of the house, I don't think would hesitate to put her up as a pawn, as a target, et cetera. Like good for her for putting up Indy and parents, both like keeping her side of the house, like her side of the house clean. And then have they announced that Festy Besties is over?
Yeah.
Great. So perfect. Even better, right? I don't know how I feel about a Terrence target, though. Like, I feel like Terrence is all bark, no bite. He's not going to win anything, I don't think. He's not going to win veto. He's not going to win HOH. He really is a follower, I think. But really, truly, Taylor's been in such a precarious spot this entire game that maybe it does make sense to take out a low-hanging, unattached person or number on the other side of the house versus, like, someone who's going to cause a lot of waves, you know, like an Alyssa. Yeah. Or, you know, even a Jasmine or an Indy, like, you know. So I think that, like, yeah, it probably is a solid, safe move. But what do you think? What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, if we're looking at it from a perspective of like what's best for Taylor's game. I think what you said was spot on. Terrence probably isn't going to win anything. I don't think Indy's going to win anything either. And as much as I don't want to admit it, I mean, we've seen Jasmine win in HOH. So I wish she hadn't. And I wish that I could sit here and say, well, she's not going to win anything either, but she might. And so she would be my number one target if I were Taylor, because she's been actively talking about her. She would absolutely go after her, and she's won something before. And so from all of those perspectives, she would be my sole target. Now we're watching on the feeds, Taylor have this dialogue about not wanting to put Jasmine on the block because she's a Black woman. I'm curious if you would let that be a thought at that point in the game. I don't think I would care at this point. I would say you have to go. If a Black woman is going to win and it's going to be me, you got to be gone. You can't be here. Like, what would you think?
You asked Chanel this pre-Survivor. I would agree with Taylor, but you asked Chanel this post-Survivor. I think I'm like more in your court. The thing that I want to do is like, I want to look at it from Taylor's perspective. She doesn't know like the vicious, delusional lies that Jasmine has told about her. And so like, I can understand her being like, damn, like it's only two Black women in this house left, you know, like wanting to have some kind of solidarity. I think that the thing about solidarity that is dangerous is you cannot have it with yourself, right? You have to ensure that you are on the same page as the person that, or the people that you're seeking solidarity with. And like, just to be honest, like I don't see Jasmine actively protecting Taylor in any situation. I actually see her actively throwing her under the bus. And so I think it's a bad decision to want to protect Jasmine on the basis of her being a Black woman, because I feel like in the game, Jasmine, like, I mean, she didn't care about that, you know? She didn't say, oh, Taylor's a Black woman, like, let me pull her into girls. Like, let me pull her aside and be like, hey, girl, like, let you know? And, like, I can only say from personal experience on reality TV, when you seek solidarity and you put that above your own game and it's not reciprocated, you're going to get burned.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to watch. I mean, this is all dependent. You said it, the festy bestie twist is over. You know, who's going to win the veto? What's going to happen with that? Like, does Jasmine win and take off Indy? And then she's left with kind of an interesting pool of people to choose from. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. And so it's going to be interesting to watch what happens. I think the veto is going to really impact a lot this week.
The thing is, now that I think about it too, Jasmine, like, she barely won that HOH comp, if we're being honest. Like, who knows if she actually should have won it. Is she a threat? Not even sure that's it. But, like, obviously, like, numbers are numbers, right? Regardless of how strong you are, how smart you are, if you have a number, if you have a vote, then you are someone that, you know, if you have a vote that's not for what I want, then you're dangerous in some respects. The question that I have for you, and I know this is not the format, I asked you a question.
No, go like, for it.
The question that I have for you is like, at what point do we see Taylor? Because like, I'm not going to say we're almost out of like options. Like we have Envy, we have Jasmine, we have Terrence, and then we have like basically the Alyssa and then the leftovers. At what point does she think like, okay, maybe I should start making counter alliances with like the minority? Because in 2 weeks, like, or we already saw this with Kyle, like entertaining the thought of turning on the leftovers. Like at what point does she insulate herself and start cutting deals with people on the other side of the house as well?
I mean, I think the time was 2 weeks ago to be doing that on the other side. I think the minute that the Leftovers was formed, it was smart for Kyle to enter a showmance. It was smart for people to start having those connections with people outside of the alliance. Unfortunately for Taylor, I don't think she can because she was never given that opportunity. And I think that that ship has sailed. So I think the best thing she could do for herself, again, she doesn't know that Kyle is having these thoughts. She doesn't know, you know, what we know watching everything. Right. It would be a brilliant idea to get out Jasmine, someone who is targeting you, doesn't like you, would throw you on the block and is Black. Because then Kyle can maybe start to back off of that. Maybe you bring him in a little bit. You show your allegiance to your alliance. Because for her, I think staying as loyal to her alliance as possible is the only move she has. Because Indy is not going to work with her. Jasmine is not going to work with her. Terrence is not going to work with her. She might be able to do something and make a final three with Kyle and Alyssa. Might be a good move. She's already got her final three with Michael and Brittany. Yeah. I think maybe having a conversation with Monty about, you know, we got to do what we got to do to like help each other.
Yeah.
Could be a smart move. But yeah, I don't know if she has as much of an opportunity to like have those side deals with people outside of the Leftovers, because you've got three people on that side who wouldn't vote for you if you were the only person in the final two chairs. And that's dangerous for her game.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if I were her, it's going to be tough for Taylor to win.
I agree fully.
I would probably align with like the next least likable house guest to the other people. Obviously we love Taylor, but in the house, and I would ride it to the end with them and make sure that I'm sitting next to someone who was painful.
Mm.
Nobody liked, who didn't win anything.
Maybe they should have kept Daniel.
And that would have been my strategy. Like, I'm taking you to the end. You have no resume. That's the strategy. That's the play here. For her. I think that wouldn't work for other people, but I think that would work for her.
But who is that person in the house right now?
Indy?
You have to say, is that Indy?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I think so. But I mean, we're not even that far in. Like, that's a lot. You have to think, I think we're at a point still where it's what, first week of jury?
Yeah.
You're kind of looking at it like from a strategic point, but you're also looking at like, who do I want to live with for the next 9 weeks?
You know what? Like, I feel like that was so much less of a thing in my experiences of like just playing a game, like who do I want to like be here with, like who's going to make it fun. And maybe Big Brother's a little bit different because all you have is like fun and boredom versus Survivor. You have like, all right, we need to fix our shelter. We need to make fire. We need to find food. And so you're very preoccupied with the task versus like with the people around you. And so like, I mean, that was pretty inconsequential to me. Like, it was more so like, all right, who is going to be good for steps 2, 3, and 4 for me, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess it's obviously a lot different in Big Brother. You have like a lot different, you have a lot of different like kind of things going on.
I think that's part of the reason that Daniel got evicted. I don't think Daniel was really that bad for a lot of people's games, but they didn't want to live with him anymore. I think honestly for Taylor, he probably would have been pretty good. I mean, he's out there yelling about Michael being the best player in the game, screaming about Monty making their targets on their backs huge.
Yeah.
I would have really evaluated, like, can I suffer through this for another week or two?
Right.
And taken this guy a little bit farther.
Right.
Because that is only good for everyone else in the Leftovers alliance. That's great for their game because he's going to target them. And at some point you have to go after your own alliance.
Yeah. I actually think too, that Jasmine could be a person that like people probably wouldn't vote for at the end. Given like the whole like ankle debacle where no one takes her seriously, to be quite honest. she could also be someone that she could probably sit next to at the end.
I agree. And I think you could count on Terrence will vote for Jasmine. Mm-hmm. Indy will vote for Jasmine. And I think depending on how you get out Alyssa and Kyle, I think Kyle would convince Alyssa to vote for Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we've seen Alyssa like kind of come around when they initially, I think it was Alyssa and Indy and Taylor joined their group. We watched Alyssa kind of talk with Taylor. Oh, we don't want to go up. What should we be doing? Da, 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 da. While Indy was like sitting with her sunglasses on being silent. So I think there is a little bit of wiggle room there for Alyssa to come around, especially now that she's in a showmance with Kyle. She's not feeling as threatened by Taylor. I think that there's possibility there for them to work together.
I also think it builds trust that Taylor doesn't put Alyssa on the block, because I know she was like super worried about it. And so I think that also kind of builds that like foundation for them to later work together later in the game. I just worry that like some of these people are so clouded by emotions that like they don't even realize like what's best for their game, which I mean, like it's easy to be, you know, consumed and clouded by emotions or just like general dislike, to know that like actually like working with you is pretty smart.
Yeah. I also worry about, we've seen this on like the Twitter accounts, that Jasmine is like a production favorite, which I think is funny, but whatever. I get worried about someone taking her really far, because I mean, we kind of saw this with like Xavier was obviously a production favorite, but Azza was in the final three. She had this amazing chance to like win and win the whole thing. But I think that there is like an unconscious bias happening on production side when their favorite is getting close to the end. And it really can like, not to use this, but like manifest the win for them in weird ways, because like they probably don't even realize that when they're asking questions in the diary room, they're pointing them in a certain direction. And, Right. And I think that it could be, again, no one in the house probably realizes that. But it could be scary to have someone like Jasmine, I think, even make it to top five.
That is so fascinating, because I feel like, okay, we have seen the tweets about Jasmine being a production fave. But I'm just like, only because of the comedic value, it has to be. Like, I don't see a world where she wins. I mean, I just think back to the comp where she hurt herself, and then the veto comp where she passed out by looking at the challenge. I don't see a world where this happens, but I could be wrong. My reads have been very far off before.
I mean, look, I hope that that's true. I've seen like some people have been like posting her like old YouTube videos, just to see if she actually has like that thick of a country accent.
So is it fake? Like what's going on there?
The video I saw, I mean, you hear it, and just like the things that she says, I'm like, it seems like such a character, but I'm like, I don't know if that's
which works is. So for Big Brother, the character, like they love that.
I also was getting so sick of that Muffin Gate thing. I was like, oh my God, like, I'm sorry, but like, okay, I get it. If you're working on a show where like you film for like 6 to 8 hours a day, whatever, there's not a lot going on. You have to find something to fill your time. These people are filming 24/7. You couldn't find another 3-minute segment for this show. Like, we've already seen Jasmine get mad about the muffin. We have to see it twice.
Yeah. Can we just say how iconic Turner is, though? Like,
dude,
so funny. Like,
he, I really like him. Same. He was the most surprising person for me. Like, even looking at the cast ahead of time, I was very underwhelmed. I think me liking Taylor so much was a little surprising, but me loving Turner is like, I was not expecting that. Like, I read Taylor saying, I was like, oh, she seems fine. I wasn't like obsessed with her. But I wasn't like, oh, I'm not going to like her. But I definitely was like, I'm not going to like Turner. And then I was like, wait a second. Like, I really like him. And then all that stuff with his like sister on Twitter. I was like, I don't know about this guy, but.
Turner was really a surprise for me because I feel like as an HOH, just going back to his HOH, it's so easy to kind of like go with the flow of the house and like to just be like, oh, really, this is happening, like, cool. But for him to make a stance the way that he did, I was like, no, like, no, babes. Like, you know how people get HOH and like, cool, maybe the popular kids will like me now.
Yeah.
He got HOH and was like, we're going to make our own table. Like,
I love it. I loved it.
Love that. Loved every side. Like, after that, I was like, oh, it's kind of iconic. Like,
yeah. You know? No, I love, we've had some really amazing like speeches this year. Like, yes. Turner's veto speech was amazing. Taylor's eviction speech was amazing. Michael's veto speech was incredible. I mean, I watched the like side by side of Daniel saying his thing and then Michael, and it's just iconic.
It is.
What do you think about Daniel? Oh, you didn't watch the show, but did you?
I did watch the speech though. I did. I thought that it was good. I thought it was very good for his, for the position that he was in. I thought it was very, very good because I feel like usually not this season, but you'll see people get, you know, they're nominated and before they vote, they're like, guys, I really like you. I really want to play with you guys. Like, you know, and it's just kind of cute and cheesy and superficial. I'm like, bruh, if I was sitting in that chair, I would go for the motherfucking jugular. I would be like, yo, are you kidding me? Like, Michael has won X amount of competitions. Are y'all blind? Like, I think he did the best thing that he could have done with his speech. And I actually think that Monty and Michael were kind of shaking. I mean, Monty was smirking a little bit, but like, I would be shook if someone was highlighting my resume like that on the way out, because y'all, if y'all are not thinking about it, I'm concerned, you know? And like, you can hide for so long, or like, you can kind of make your wins palatable and be like everyone's homie and friends or whatever. But when you put it out there in their face like that, you've had 5 competition wins. You can't ignore that. You can't ignore that.
Yeah, no, it was great. And I thought that he did something really interesting, which was talk to Alyssa. He sat down with Alyssa and was like, look, Kyle didn't want to use the veto last week. He wanted you out. Like, you were going to go home. And it wasn't until I said I wanted to use it that you were safe. And it, you could see like the gears start to turn in her head and her really start to think about like what exactly is going on here. And I think it's interesting because this is where my question for you is so fascinating, because it's something that I can't answer. Where does the line get drawn between personal and game? It's very clear Kyle wants to explore something with Alyssa outside of the house, but he also wants to win Big Brother. And he knows that she is a liability and was fully ready to get her out. But in his mind, that didn't change the way that he feels about her on a personal level.
Yeah, that's like, that's so hard. It's so difficult because like in the game, like I feel that, right? In the game earlier, like I'm just going to kind of relate this back to my experience, but early in the game, I really liked Ty. I really liked him. Like, I was like, oh, like, we're like, that's going to be my sis after the game. Like, I loved him. And I knew though that I could not include him in that first vote plan. I was like, I like him a lot. And I just hope he forgives me. And that was literally the way that I had to think about it. Was like, I just hope that he forgives me. I hope that we can like work through it or whatever after. Obviously that didn't work out exactly the way that I wanted, but like just in general, I feel like it's okay to like really like people, right? But like to the point where like it doesn't even have to be you sacrificing your game at all, but like to the point where it like clouds your decision-making process in a way that does not strategically help you. If it strategically makes you stagnant or even pushes you back, you can't, you literally can't. And we've seen people make hard decisions like last season with Tiff and Claire. Like, we've seen people make hard personal decisions because strategically it just doesn't align with like what has to happen. And so like for Kyle, I think it was smart for him to get into a showmance. I don't think it was smart for him to fall for her like he did, because I feel like, I don't know, one day he's all in, one day he's like, you know, Alyssa said too much and now it's, oh, you know, I don't know where he is, but it feels very emotional.
Yeah. Yeah. It does change daily. And she does seem, as much as like, I want to riff on her and say like, oh, she seems like someone who would just kind of do whatever and doesn't really know what she's doing. She does seem strong enough that what Daniel said kind of started to strike a chord with her, where she was like, maybe I pull back a little. I was kind of expecting her to just be like, oh, you know, like we all have that friend who like, you're like, hey, your boyfriend is cheating on you or whatever. And they're like, oh, well, la, 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 no, they're not. Or you don't know them like I know them and blah, blah, blah. But she didn't do any of that. She wasn't like, oh, well, he was just saying that because and trying to make things up. She was like sitting there really taking it in. And I'm curious if he almost gets to the point where he was going to cut her, then gets so into it, and then she comes around and gets him out or something like that. Could be interesting.
I would secretly love that, to be quite honest. I don't think Alyssa is getting quite the credit. I'm going to be very careful in saying this. The credit that she deserves in like in this showmance with Kyle. I think it's very smart for her to be in a showmance with Kyle. I think he's probably more into it than she is, which is great, because that means that he will make bad decisions for his game to protect her. I think it was great that she confronted Kyle about it too, honestly, because that kind of put him on his toes, like, oh shit, like I gotta, you know, like make up almost for it. Like, no, I was always gonna take you off, like whatever. I think that like, I mean, she's not my favorite player, but like, I do think that like, she is a bit smarter than I think most people probably give her credit for.
Yeah, totally. I also think when you're in a showmance, it obviously benefits one person more than the other. And I think Kyle had a lot more to lose than she did by being in a showmance, because he's in an alliance with already six other people. So then to add in kind of a built-in number one that's not already in that alliance kind of is complicated and can get really tricky. But for her, she had nothing to lose. And right. So I think it can benefit her longer in the game, because if people want to help out Kyle, they're going to protect Alyssa. And I think that it just helps her a little bit more than it helps him. And when he gets out, I'm certain that the reasoning will be, well, you're in a showmance. Yeah. So that's going to be kind of tricky. From your experience on Survivor, and you don't have to dive too deep into this. I saw some tweets of yours at the beginning of this season, kind of talking about the treatment of Taylor and what was happening there. What do you think, besides like unconscious bias, is the reasoning that this happens in these sort of like contained situations?
Like, that's such a layered thing, like to even wrap your head around. Like, it's just so many things, right? Like, one of my biggest fears going on Survivor was like, I am not going to be a part of the in-group because I'm automatically going to be other, because I'm a Black woman. And in these situations, naturally you gravitate towards people that you are similar to. You have similar experiences, similar upbringing, similar life experiences in the world, similar backgrounds professionally, personally, etc. And so like, I think the thing is like, when you don't know anyone, like you gravitate towards the similarities that you can see right away, which is like, all right, like this is a strong white, cool surfer bro frat dude, like cool, reminds me of the guys at my high school that I could never be like in their in crowd with. I'm gonna gravitate towards this person, or reminds me of myself, right? Or reminds me of like the people that I see on TV that are cool. And so I say it's layered because it's like, it doesn't even have to be something that you like gravitate towards because you see it. It could be like TV perpetuates this, like, you know, this shining image of like these, you know, whoever or whatever, that make you gravitate towards it or make you trust it more, make you, yeah. And so I think that's one of the reasons why, for the Taylor situation, I think it's pure like jealousy, probably like threatened. Like, I mean, listen, like from the beginning, Paloma was on Taylor's like neck, like, ooh, I don't like her. She's a pageant girl. Why would she say that? And I don't know what kind of like associations Paloma has in her head with pageant girls that she immediately kind of put Taylor into that category. But I think it really is like when you have nothing to go off of, you just pull from wherever you have any kind of data. And that data could be like, it could be stereotype data. It could be like data from what you've seen on previous seasons, what you've seen on TV. This type of person typically does well at this game. That's exactly who I want to work with. I'm not going to lie. I went on Survivor and I was like, I should really probably attach myself to a strong white man. That's crazy. That's crazy, right? Like, that's not who I am in real life. But I was like, they typically do well. I want to do well. Like, I look at the last new season that we saw was season 39, where Lauren Ashley Beck was very, very close with Tommy, and she went very deep into the game. And I was like, maybe that's what I need to do, right? And so I attached myself to Daniel for that, but also for other reasons too, like because we had similar backgrounds, we're from the same hometown, like same religious backgrounds, it all kind of clicked. But there are things like that too, where you kind of get caught into like who has traditionally been edited to do well on these shows, right? Or who's traditionally been edited in these certain ways. Let me attract myself to the edit of what looks good. And hopefully like that kind of proximity will allow me to coast further. So yeah. And I say that too, like I did want to like attach, not to bring this about Survivor, because it's not about me, but I did want to do that. But also the other part of me is like, I want to play with Black women. So I also did want to play with solidarity as well. And so like, those are the two like kind of like things opposite in my head. Like, I was like, I do think that like, if I attach myself to a strong alpha male, white male, strong alpha white male, like it'll probably be good for my game. But personally, I want to play with like Black people, Black women, like,
yeah, you know, I mean, that's so hard because it's like you get usually one chance to play this game. Mm-hmm. And it sounds great in theory to say, I want to go in and I want to work with the Black people. But it's also like, this is my only chance to win $1 million in your case, to win Survivor. You tried out several times. You got on. Like, you're also a good example for Black women if you win.
Right.
So, like, there's this weird kind of line that I don't think either side is right or wrong. It's right. Just a different experience. And it's yeah. Really up to you. I mean, because I think about this all the time with Tiff. Tiff sacrificed a great deal on Big Brother 23. Had she not, we would have had the first Black female winner last year.
Yeah.
And it's weird because we had the first Black winner. Great. We had the cookout. Great. But if the cookout didn't exist, we would have had the first Black female winner.
Yeah.
And that's also great. And yeah. Tiff would have had $750,000. So it's weird because it's like, both are fantastic. Neither, in my opinion, is right or wrong.
Yeah.
But they're just different. And so you have to kind of decide, am I going in and playing with solidarity, which is fantastic, or am I going in and I'm playing for myself, which I also think is fine and fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
It's tough. I obviously have never done that. So I wouldn't know what I would do until I was sitting, you know, there yeah. in that position. But you know, I think that people try to make it sound like one is morally more acceptable than the other. And I personally don't agree.
No, I agree. I agree. Like, a couple things. Like, number one, there's a world where you can, in a way, do both as best as possible. Like, I'm playing for me, but if I can look out for Black people on the way, like, on the way there, cool. Like, you know, that's one way. It's interesting because I literally just had this conversation with someone last weekend, and they were like, you know, you see a lot of things that happen, and like, at what point do you speak up, or do you, or do you not? Like, you know, if you see something, and like in what ways do you jeopardize your game to do it? And I was like, honestly, I can't fault either side. If you decide to do it, to speak up about something, like, I think that's incredible. Like, good for you. Obviously not in like very egregious like circumstances, but like, you know, like, let's say something happens, you're like, oh, like, I want to say something, but like, I don't know if it's going to ruin my game by saying something. It's like, neither side is necessarily wrong. It's just more so of like, it's just like, you can't, like, fuck, what do you do? Like, do you sacrifice your game, right, for personal things, or do you, you know, do with the moral, what you're morally aligned to?
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's so tough. You have to put yourself in any one of their positions. You are there. You got on Big Brother.
Yeah.
You made it. And a lot of the people on Twitter are people who have applied. They right. made it on. And are they going to throw away their one chance? They finally made it to tell Daniel to stop yelling at Taylor? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard. Like, I think the way Amira approached it, like, wasn't terrible when she was like, hey, like, actually don't think she meant it like that, which I definitely respected, because like, the way that, like, for me, the Daniel thing was egregious. Like, that's something where I would be like, yo, like, ah, you know, like, that was pretty egregious. And so in that situation, I think that there is a way to stand up and not let that kind of go on. Just be like, yo, like, I'm not sure. Like, that was exactly the intention. Like, maybe let's take a step back. But like, for less egregious instances, like, let's just say, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example of what happened. Whatever. I would say, like, Madison, like, where do you stand? Would you like jeopardize your game and speak up? Would you like not? Like, what would you do?
I think it would depend on my positioning in the house. I think that, especially knowing like Daniel's personality, I think there was only one person that could have really talked to Daniel about the treatment of Taylor in that situation, and that was Nicole. Mm-hmm. I think Nicole would have had to have been the one to be like, to done what Amira did.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think she meant it that way. And now that you're kind of bringing it up, it's making me think that maybe we both overreacted about this.
Right.
But I think if anyone else had done it, it would have been a little out of place, because if you're not friends with Daniel, why would then you be talking to him about his behavior? And B, this guy obviously blows up. So then you're kind of throwing yourself in the line of fire over something to someone that you're not really that close with. So I would have probably had to really evaluate, like, kind of what you're saying, how I would do that, and if it's appropriate based on my relationship with this person. I think with the Paloma thing, if Amira really was up to standing up for Taylor, that would have been a person she could have talked to, because they were in the same alliance. So I just think it's kind of like interesting your positioning in the house of like who you're talking to. Like, I'm trying to think of an example, like Brittany and Daniel didn't really talk. It would be very weird, I think, if Brittany was like trying to sit down and have like a very calm conversation,
yeah,
being
it.
Like, hey, yeah. I don't really think that you were treating Taylor the right way. I don't think she meant it that way. Cause then he'd be like, well, what the fuck? Like, who are you to tell me? We aren't friends.
Yeah.
Why do you care?
Yeah.
So I do think it's a little bit like that, where it's,
yeah,
I don't know. It's not, I don't know.
It is. It's so tough. And the other thing, like, to take into account that no one really thinks about is like, bro, if I could tell you how scared I was, like, not scared, like, yes, scared, but also scared because you're just like, everything you say, every interaction that you have, you're like, all right, I want to make sure that I'm kosher, that I'm good, that I'm not offending anyone, like, that I'm not speaking out of turn. Like, you want to make sure, or at least I did in my head, like, before I speak, like, all right, yeah, good. I can say that. All right, cool. All right, you know? And so, like, it's also a very scary thing to do that I don't want to discount, of like being like, I'm going to say something to the bully. I'm going to stand up, you know, to the bully or to the loudest person in the room, when I might not necessarily in any other situation be the loudest person in the room. So, like, with the Daniel thing, like, I do agree Nicole is probably the only person that could have properly talked him off the ledge. But I do think that, like, I do feel bad. And I heard, I feel like I read this or I saw this somewhere where Taylor was, like, really upset that it took everyone so long to recognize the mistreatment, which I completely agree with. Like, I think it took the house way too long. I think way too many people participated in it. Specifically, like, I remember when Taylor was in the bathroom area, and then I think it was like Joseph and Kyle like ran to the door and they ran away like, oh, Taylor had her ear to the door. And I was like, no, she didn't. I'm like, ew, why are y'all doing that? There was way too much perpetuating of it. And it was, it went on way too long to the point where I'm just like, this is just kind of like, this
yeah. is terrible. Actually, now that you say that, I think that kind of sparks what my reaction would have been. I think if in that situation, I definitely wouldn't have talked to Daniel. I think that from a game level, like, you're shooting yourself in the foot. I think it would have been appropriate to go to Taylor.
Yes.
And be like, hey, I'm sorry that he's saying this to you. I don't agree with it, but you just yes. have to understand, for my game, I can't be openly like arguing with him on your behalf, but I want you to know that, like, I have your back kind yeah. of thing. Yeah. And I think she would have understood that from a game level. And that yeah. would have made her obviously feel better knowing that there right. are people who like see it. And I think maybe that's really all she wanted, was someone to be yes. like, right. oh, I see that this is happening, versus yeah. like, I mean, I don't know. I haven't talked to her, but versus someone like, you know, standing up and being like, oh, let me yell at Daniel, you know, for yeah. you. I yeah. don't think that that would have been good for anyone's game or whatever. But yeah, I do think just even if Amira had had that conversation that she had with Jasmine and Daniel with Taylor.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that would have gone a lot farther yes. than it did having the conversation with
1,000%, like, would have been appropriate for like a Brittany or Joseph to go to Taylor and be like, I see you. I want you to know that that's not okay. I'm so sorry that happened. And like, I support you.
Yeah.
You know, versus like trying to talk to a hothead that might just yell back at you. Like, I yeah, agree.
Totally. Yes. That is probably what I would have
yeah.
chosen to do. And then that also covers you from a game level, because right, exactly. you're not causing rifts. You're not known as someone who's like, you know, yelling. And we've seen it before. If that happens and someone is saying something to the person who's yelling, can turn into like a big freaking blowout. That is yeah. like, you've fully forgotten even what you were talking about yeah. or why this conversation happened. And everyone's just, it's so bad. But it has been a lot of drama this season.
It has. It
really so many has. Blindsides. I'm worried. I will say, I'm worried that the house will flip on the vote this week on Taylor's HOH. And I don't want her HOH to go to waste.
Take out Indy?
I'm worried that if for whatever reason Indy comes off the block and Monty goes up in an attempt to make it look like, oh, see, I did want to backdoor Monty, but Terrence happened to get out, that Michael will start scheming.
Yeah.
Brittany will be on board.
Yeah.
Jasmine wants him out.
Yeah.
Indy wants him out. Alyssa yeah. wants him out. They'll get yeah. to Kyle. All of a sudden it's eviction night and Monty's walking out the door.
I think and Monty on the block is dangerous.
I do too. And I'm worried that almost to save face, if the veto gets used on Indy, that's going to be Taylor's move.
I just want to say, I think Taylor is very smart. I think she's very, very smart. And I don't think that she would put herself in the position to have one of her close allies go home. I agree with the whole saving face and like protecting in covert about you and Monty's relationship. But like, I don't see her doing that. I truly don't, because it gives too much power away on her HOH. She doesn't even have a vote, you know? So like,
yeah, I know. I'm worried. I hope that doesn't happen. Who do you think would go up as a replacement?
If Indy was taken down.
Or Terrence.
If one person's taken down, right? She's not going to put up Jasmine. She's not going to put up I know. It's like, please put her up.
Oh my God. I'm just like,
leftovers.
It's such an easy layup too. I wish she could see it. I've tweeted this before because she was like saying something and I was like, no. Like, you aren't seeing things the way that you should be seeing it. I wish she could just see it the way that we see it to be like, she's going to get out of that house and be like, damn, I should have just thrown Jasmine's ass on the block.
Yeah. I think she might have to go back on Alyssa.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the only thing that makes sense. But for me personally, knowing this game, and I don't know if she's a fan or if like she just started watching. Oh, she just started watching last year, actually.
Yeah.
But like the way that like pawns go home.
I know.
Like, come on, don't do that.
I think she does know like a decent amount about the game, which is interesting. I'm so curious. I hope I get to talk to her. Like, she did start watching last year, but she does know quite a bit about the game. Daniel too was like a fan of the game, I guess. I don't know. It was interesting to watch him play. He was giving kind of Frenchy vibes where like he played way too hard, way too fast because he knew so much. I'm like, I'm stressed, but I'm excited. I'm happy Taylor's HOH, but you know, again, I'm not holding my breath. I just feel like there's so many variables still. It's day one at this point of her HOH. There's just so many variables that I'm like waiting for the shoe to drop. I'm like, okay, she won. Great. But until it is Thursday night and Terrence is like walking out the door, I'm going to be like, I don't know. Like,
yeah. No, I mean,
wrong.
I'm nervous because expect the unexpected, but I truly do think like she's smart and she's not going to put herself in a position to like come out of an HOH in a worse position.
Yeah. Well, now we have this new twist. I don't know if you know about, they're dividing the house on Thursday night after the eviction into two groups. They are playing the game separately for a week.
What?
So there will be an HOH, nominees, a veto, and an eviction, a double eviction from both sides of that house.
Oh my.
And I do not know how they're dividing it, who's making that decision, if it's random, which means if it's random, this is what I think. I think
the leftovers are separating. That's what it means.
Yes.
That is going to create some rifts within the alliance. If it happens to be like the leftovers mainly on one side, it's going to be like, well, actually, what is the pecking order? Because like, I feel like that's something that like, when they started the leftovers, it was very much like, we're all equal. Like no one's better than the other. But, like, practically and realistically, there is a hierarchy. And if you don't believe there is one, then you're probably on the bottom of it, you know? Yep. So, yeah.
And I'm very, very interested to see what transpires. But yes, I think Thursday night's eviction episode is 2 hours long. So it will be them dividing the house. I mean, I'm like, where are they going to be? Are they going to be
separated together? Yeah.
Are they living together still?
I would imagine you would want to separate them, right? Because then you'll have people like, oh, you need to protect this person, I'll protect you. Like when Survivor does that twist, they go to two separate islands, like so that there is no strategy that crosses over. It's quite literally the truest form of two separate games.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever, from what I remember, this has never been a twist on Big Brother, ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I am like, it'll be interesting.
It's going to be very good. I'm excited to watch it.
So who do you think is going to win this season?
Listen, I would have said Michael, but I think that he is way too shiny, way too bright and shiny. And I feel like it's going to be someone a little bit more lower key. Who do I want to win? I want Taylor. but who do I think is going to win? I think Taylor has a uphill battle, to be quite honest, for jury votes. I could see Turner making it pretty far. He's low-key enough, I think, to not be on people's radars. I think Mike is just so, like, messy, I feel like, with this showmance and the, I think it's going to be a cookout 3.0 or whatever. Like, it's just way too messy. I'm going to say Turner is going to get very deep into the game.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. I think you're right. I think Turner is doing really well. I think Joseph might, I think we might have a like final three of like maybe Joseph, Turner, Taylor. But then I'm like, I think both either of them would take Taylor to the end. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Joseph is pretty like low key.
And he's really well liked. Like yeah, if he's sitting next to Taylor, it could be unanimous.
Yeah. I think Taylor, like what could Taylor do to put her in a position to win in terms of like, not even who she's sitting next to, but like the audience, America loves her, but like inside of the house, like what can she do to like change that likability?
I've been thinking about this. I don't know. I think there's a couple things she could do. I think if she, because Michael has expressed already that he knows Monty is a threat. I think this week, if she were to talk to the leftovers separately from Monty and said, hey, I think I want to get Monty out. He's a huge target in this game. He will be, you know, the winner out of all of us. He's a strong competitor. He's going to win all the endurance comps. He's going to win all the strength comps moving forward. Like if it's down to us at final five and it's some sort of strength competition, like he's going to steamroll Michael and Brittany and Taylor and everyone. So I think if she got him out with the approval of the leftovers, I don't think that's a move she makes without them knowing.
Yep.
I think that buys her a little bit of grace with Terrence. Mm-hmm. I think that buys her a little bit of grace with Jasmine. Indy wants him out as well. Mm-hmm. And I think Monty is level-headed enough that he would spend his time in jury thinking about what a good move that was.
Mm-hmm.
That would build her resume and buy her a little bit of grace with the other house guests.
Yeah. I would have to agree. I think the only thing that's going to trump likability is undeniable strategy. And so like, that would probably have to be like, she would have to pull off some kind of big move. That's like, you can't, maybe I don't like you, but like that move was smart and it was good for thinking two, three evictions down the line.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think, but again, back to that, I think taking out Monty is great strategy. So whether it's this week or she gets the opportunity again, I mean, last week, even Daniel said it, like, if you took out Monty, like you would be taking out the biggest target, the biggest person who was like, I mean, he's being compared to Xavier.
Yeah.
Like he's getting by the block. No one's really talking about him as a target. Yeah. And I mean, we said it last year, if anyone got out Xavier, they would have won the game.
Mm.
And I think she has that opportunity to do that. And we saw Azza. I mean, Azza stands by her game and I respect the hell out of that. But in my opinion, we saw her miss that opportunity when she got Hannah out. She could have put Xavier on the block, but she didn't. And I think that that was a missed opportunity that would have won her the game.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that's what I'm just seeing the comparisons of Monty being such a strong athletic competitor and kind of being a little bit of a quieter spirit like Xavier was. I think Taylor has a really interesting opportunity. And the problem is we don't know if she'll win HOH again.
Right. But here's the other thing, right? Especially like, I'm going to compare Survivor again. Survivor, you don't have to have your name on the building for people to know that you own it. Like your name doesn't have to be plastered over the movie. You don't have to be the HOH to know, for people to know like, yeah, so-and-so like basically designed that move and helped execute it. So is there a world where like Taylor could do that, not from an HOH position?
No. Because she's already so disliked.
Yeah.
She has to be front and center of the move, I think, for Terrence to give her credit for Jack, it has to be undeniable. Like if there's any sort of, oh, Taylor convinced Kyle to put up whatever, you already know Jasmine's going to be over there like, Butterbeans can't do that. She didn't do that. And like Terrence is going to say, oh, I don't think she doesn't pull that much weight. Yep. And like all of that, you know, all the things that they're already saying about her, it has, I think for her specifically in this situation, I think you're right. And I think that's a big reason why Xavier kind of had a resume that we didn't really see necessarily, was because he was part of a lot of those conversations and like holding people together. But I don't know if she'll get the credit she deserves if she doesn't put her name like right at the front and center of these moves, because people already are trying to deny, like she's gotten herself, in my opinion, off the block 3 times.
Yeah.
And even then everyone's like, well, I don't know how she got herself, how she talked her way off of the block. And it's like, she's playing the game strategy. Right. That's how.
Right.
And yep, even then they're not really giving her that.
Right.
And because honestly, that is enough, I would think, in the final 2 chairs for me to consider voting for you.
Absolutely.
You were a target the entire pre-jury period. And now you're in the final 2 chair.
Right. Absolutely. 100%.
But I unfortunately, with these people, it's not enough. Which is annoying. That she, going back to the struggle of being a Black woman, has to work 10 times harder.
Yeah.
Piss off more people in order to get the same credit as anyone else for doing less and doing it behind the scenes and not getting blood on their hands.
Right. Which is honestly the more impressive thing, but.
Yeah. I know. And that's, it sucks. And so, yeah, we need her at the front and center of these big moves so that she can just list them out in those final 2 chairs.
Sure. Fair enough.
Which is, yeah, it's unfortunate, but I think she could do it. I mean, I'm interested to see what happens this week. I just think, yeah, like it's tough because we're at a point now where the game shifts in a way where jury management now is so important.
Yes.
And yes, if you can, you already know it's not a good move now at this stage to get out people who don't like you.
Yeah.
Because you need them to like you before they leave that house.
Yes.
So if you've got a couple weeks to work on Terrence and you've got a couple weeks to work on Indy and you've got a couple weeks to make Jasmine all the fried chicken that she wants, I would start doing that and start chipping away at my alliance, because at the end of the day, they're probably still going to vote for you in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I actually think that like if she, I mean, like I remember watching All Stars, Small Stars, and so the funny way that Memphis and Kevin in Memphis built the relationship. They're both up early in the morning getting coffee. I know it was Memphis and someone else, but it was very early in the morning getting coffee, like every day, same time they're awake. Like if she even started to do that, like what is Terrence's sweet spot? What is Jasmine's sweet spot where you can literally just bond, like listen to their stories, tell them their life is so interesting. Like,
yeah, I need her to pull out that Miss Congeniality. And I don't think we've seen that yet.
Mm-mm.
I think she has been a little guarded and rightfully so, but it's like, it's time to put that face on and go out there and whatever, start jury management. And I think that that could make a case for sure for her. Yeah. And I think, again, having that side conversation with Michael and Brittany specifically, and maybe Joseph, to say, look, I might have to make some moves that don't necessarily help our full alliance, but could help us.
Yeah.
I think that's the move.
One thing I will say for me, when I went to Survivor, I went on Survivor. I was like, oh my gosh, like I am so well-liked in real life. Like it's going to be a no-brainer for the show. And the reason why, and I literally just like had this realization this week, like literally just thinking in my shower. The reason why in real life, I think I'm really like well liked is because I'm genuinely very nice, like very, very, very nice, you know? And I see that in Taylor where she's just very nice, very sweet. And you think that niceness and sweetness will translate into people liking you in these games like Big Brother, Survivor, and they don't necessarily. And that was such a shock to me in the beginning of the game. Like, yeah, people like gravitated towards me or whatever because I was nice. But when I got to merge, like no one cared that I was nice. Like, oh, she's nice, cool. You know, like it wasn't enough to like draw people in. It wasn't enough to get people to be like, I want to work with her. Like being nice is not enough. And I feel like Taylor's just very, very nice and very sweet and very kind. Yeah. But maybe like it has to be like more relatable, more like, there's got to be something more than niceness to get people to really like you on these shows, because it's like
yeah
it's competitive to like be the person that people gravitate towards.
If I were her, what I would do now, all of the reasons people didn't like you, make those things benefits for people. Because I remember Jasmine said something really interesting about, maybe it wasn't Jasmine, I think it was like Jasmine, Indian, Alyssa were talking to Nicole when Nicole said, oh, I want to let you know I'm a cop, I'm a detective, da 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 da, whatever. And it was Indy. Indy was like, oh my God, help me in this game. Like, I need your help. Mm. I think if Taylor can use, you didn't like me because I was a threat. I'm a physical threat, mental threat, whatever. But what if those things were threats to the other people and they helped you?
Yeah.
Because I think that they disliked her so much that they weren't thinking that way.
Yeah. I'm pulling for her. I am pulling for her. I want Taylor to win. She's like my favorite of the season just because there are so many similarities. Not so many, but there's similarities between like her early game, my like time at Merge where I was just like, oh, like my heart breaks for her. So I am rooting for her 100%. But I do know it's just hard. It's hard.
I know. It's crazy, but it'll be interesting with this twist. I'm excited to, and they don't know about it yet. So it's going to be really crazy, but I hope that this week goes well. And Taylor has a successful HOH with an outcome that benefits her and her game. That's like my hope, is that nothing crazy happens, no flipping, no twisting, no nothing, that something or someone leaves that it benefits her and that she really gets something out of winning this week. And then we'll keep going.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, thanks so much for doing this.
I love this. It's great. I love recapping it.
I know, it's fun just going through and thinking of all the scenarios and things that could happen.
I think it's fun too, because like even the back and forth that we have, like it causes me to think about things in different ways. So I'm like, oh, like, huh, that is an interesting perspective. You know, like I'm just like, I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah.
You're very good at podcasting. Like you're very good.
I just think about this all day, you know, but even with you, like it helped me. Like I didn't know like what I would have done in the Daniel situation. And then you think about it and you're like, oh, like, well, maybe you could do this, because it's nice because we have the luxury of getting to sit and think about it. Right. Like exactly. In the house, these people don't have, like, you're in it. You're not like, what would I do now? Or what should I do now? It's like, you're just there and you're kind of like, okay, like go figure out what you would do because you're doing it right now. And so,
it's
just very interesting, but I know it's always so fun. I love like just talking with people, especially people who are like on either Big Brother or another show who have been in situations where you had to strategize and think on your feet.
Yeah.
I very much think about the show from like a production side. So it is fun talking to people who are like on shows.
Yeah, that's a good balance to have, production and then like a contestant side.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah,
no, I really appreciate it.
I would love to do another, like maybe later in the season.
Oh my God,
Yeah, like just, you know.
My new co-host.
this is so fun. Like I love the idea of podcasting.
Oh my God, great. Well, thanks for agreeing to do mine. Gosh.
Yeah. Thank you.